Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Amen. Why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 1 this morning? We're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 1, the Christmas story. Tonight we're going to be reciting the Christmas story at our candlelight ceremony, but this morning, if you would allow me to, I'm going to try to preach quickly, but I'm going to preach the Christmas story to you this morning, just something that God laid on my heart within the story that may be applicable to our daily lives today. Tonight, come back at 8 o'clock and join us. We have our annual Christmas Eve service, which we have every Christmas Eve, regardless of whether that falls on a Sunday or if it falls on a Wednesday or whatever. But we'll have our candlelight ceremony. We'll sing some Christmas carols. The pastors will be rotating through reading the Christmas story for you. And then at the end of that, we're going to take communion as families. So we'll have five tables set up, one at each row across the sanctuary. And they'll be manned by pastors or elders. However, Pastor asks that you men, whoever is the patriarch of your family, if you would contemplate leading your family in family communion as you come up tonight to the tables. It's not really that difficult. You got some time to look through and pray through. However, if you absolutely are not comfortable doing it, then we'll have a pastor at that station to help you as well. Amen. Coming up, I just want to make a quick announcement for our prayer team. Coming up, the office will be closed on Monday and Tuesday, so the church will be closed Monday and Tuesday. And the intercessory prayer meeting that's normally on Tuesday morning will not happen this coming week. So I just wanted to make sure you know that before you drive all the way here and find a locked door and the doorbell, nobody answers. Amen. So how many of you are at Luke chapter 1? Amen. Does anybody need more time? That's a pretty easy book to find. You probably don't need that much time to find that one. We're going to begin reading in verse 26, and it reads like this. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." The King James Version actually says, "Hail, Mary. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered, "What manner of a greeting was this?" Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. But with God, nothing will be impossible." Amen. I believe some of you need to get that in your spirit this morning. Why don't you say that with me? "But with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just give you all praise and all glory. We're thankful, Father, that we're able to get out of bed and we're able to drive up here this morning and sit in the sanctuary and feel your presence and be your children this morning, worshiping and hearing the word. And Father, I just pray over this word that you've given me, Lord, that you would anoint it to go forth to cause change in somebody's life, Lord, or change in somebody's thought processes, Father, that it would just be a good word this morning that people would receive and contemplate on. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory for it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So what we find ourselves in this story is Mary was supposed to be married. right? She was thinking about all things marriage. I don't know if you've been around a bride lately, but that bride probably has trouble doing anything else other than thinking about her wedding that's coming up, right? If you've been around a bride, and there's a bride, a new bride sitting on the second row there in the middle, and probably the last several months, every conversation ended up being about the wedding. Probably in the last several months, every conversation ended up about who's going to be in the wedding, what kind of dress are they going to wear, or what kind of games are we going to play after the wedding at the reception, where are we going to go for our honeymoon after the wedding, and maybe who am I going to marry? You know, some of you may be set on married, may have booked a date, but haven't found the person yet, and you're praying for that person, amen? So it may be just something in your life, but something happens to Mary in the story, right? She's thinking about her marriage. She's thinking about her wedding. She's thinking about everything coming to pass. And then all of a sudden, one day, an angel of God shows up and interrupts her plans. Amen. Has anybody in here ever had your plans interrupted? Right? Has anybody in here ever had God just interrupt your plans? You know, there's somebody said one time that if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right? Now I'm a planner, and I believe in planning, but I also believe in submitting my plans to the Holy Spirit, amen? I believe that if God decides to change my plans, then so be it. Then that's the way it was. It wasn't too many years ago that I was in the business world, and me and my wife, and we were still doing ministry, and I was making lots of money. I was making lots of money, and I was doing ministry. And then all of a sudden, God interrupted those plans, and now I'm just doing ministry, amen? So sometimes God's plans come, and it's not something you necessarily would have chose for yourself, amen? But it's something that happens. Right? So I'm going to preach this morning just a short word for you called a divine interruption. A divine interruption is what we're going to be preaching on today. So we see God interrupting the process of what represents the very fabric of society, which is a wedding between a husband and a wife. Sometimes God will intercede or intercept a good thing to do a God thing. Amen. Sometimes God will show up and intercept a situation that you perceive to be good so that he can do something that's all God, right? And at first, sometimes what God is doing in your life, and it looks like it's not good, right? It's like, God, everything was going fine till Gabriel showed up. God, everything was going fine till this angel popped up out of nowhere. God, everything was going fine until this, but now all of a sudden everything's going downhill and downhill quick. And God says, be faithful to me, be patient, and you'll see what happens in the future. Amen? Because only God knows what's going to come to pass. We don't know. So the angel said to Mary, you are highly favored and blessed among women. And the word says that Mary was troubled with that, right? How many of you have ever been troubled when somebody called you blessed? I don't know that I have, right? But if an angel popped up out of nowhere and all of a sudden was shining in front of you and said, hail Mary, hail Jessica, hail Steve, you are blessed and highly favored. You might be thinking, okay, well, what is this all about, right? And that's exactly where Mary was. She was thinking, what is this all about? What exactly is going to happen now? What kind of greeting is this? And especially in the King James Version, because in the King James Version, he says, hail Mary. And we know that hail is usually reserved for royalty. Hail is usually reserved for kings, right? They would say things like, hail Caesar or hail king. Hail Mary? A 14 or 15, maybe possibly 16-year-old girl that's just betrothed to be married to a carpenter? Hail Mary? Well, God, I'm not royalty. Why are you coming to me and saying this? And I say this morning that some of you, God may be speaking something to your heart, and on the inside you may be leaping, but on the outside you're thinking, God, but I'm just Steve. I can't do that. That's bigger than me, God. And I think in this situation, that might be where Mary found herself. She said, I'm just a young woman. I'm just here. I'm just trying to survive. I'm just planning a wedding. I'm just trying to decide to let my sister be the maid of honor or my best friend and have them fight it out, right? I'm just trying to figure these details out. And then, God, you show up and you lay something like this on my life. See, how many of you know that when God speaks, it doesn't always make sense to us? When God moves, it doesn't always make sense to us. When God does something new in your life, it doesn't always make sense to you. Sometimes God will make a move in your life that seems like it's got to be the absolute devastation. It's got to be the devil. But then you find out in time that it was indeed God, and he was trying to work something out in you through the process of what he was allowing to happen to you. Amen. And I think this is where Mary finds herself, is that God was trying to work out something in her for his kingdom by allowing something to happen to her, right? So when God says that you're blessed and highly favored, and I have a job for you, there's four things I want to talk about this morning that have to happen as a result of that word. Now, you may have had a word in your spirit for the entire year of 2017. You may have had a word in your spirit for the last 5 years, and it hasn't come to happen yet. And maybe it hasn't come to happen yet because you haven't done any of these points yet. You haven't done any of the things that God is waiting for you to do to move that word into action. Because sometimes God will speak a word into your life, but then he expects you to take a step in faith, right? Sometimes we like to sit around in our lazy boys, man, eating that Christmas popcorn out of the tins, you know, and watching Elf and saying, okay, God, I've got this word in my spirit. Why don't you just go ahead and bring it to pass? And God's going, you're going to put the lazy boy and the popcorn down? You know, sometimes we sit around and we wait for God's word, and it hasn't come to pass yet because we haven't stepped out in faith yet. So the first thing of the four that I want to talk about today that happens is you must be ready to receive it. You have to receive the word. Point one on the screen, guys. You have to receive the word. You have to receive it. I would venture to say that there's probably some people in this room today that God has spoken a word to in your life, but you've yet to receive it. He's spoken it to you, and he's spoken it over you, but you've yet to receive it. You're still in the stage of disbelief, denial, maybe disengagement. Maybe you've turned and walked away from it rather than walking into it, but you just have not received it yet. If you notice in this story, the first thing Mary did was receive the word. Not the first thing she did. The first thing she did was question the angel. Now, how are you going to make me pregnant when I ain't never been with a man? Right, that was the first thing she said. She questioned the angel, right? The second thing she said after he explained what was going to happen is she said, I receive it, and God's will be done. Amen? So you have to receive the word. Now, Mary just wanted to get married. She just wanted to get married to Joseph. She just wanted to start a life, maybe have some kids, be the local carpenter's wife, go to the PTA. Is it PTA? Parent teacher, yeah, PTA, go to the PTA groups, you know, bake some cupcakes. You know, that was what her plans consisted of. She just wanted to do life. She just wanted to be married and stay at home, cook dinner, you know, and just do life. That was what was on her plans. But then God came along and said, Mary, no, I want you to be the vessel through who I'm going to birth the Savior of the world, right? So she had small plans. God had big plans for her. She had little plans. God had humongous plans for her. She had plans that nobody would ever remember her name. God had plans for her that people would be talking about her thousands of years later. Amen? She had plans that the only people who would remember were the people around her for the next 50 years. God had plans for her that so when people walked into heaven, they go, oh, that's Mary. God had plans for her like that. There's some people in this room today that your plans are small, but God's plans are huge. There's some people in this room today that are dreaming too little. You're thinking small. You're thinking, well, God, if I could just do this, then I'd be happy. And God's saying, no, I got so much greater for you. Increase your faith. Step up. I've got so much more for you than that. Don't just get along. Thrive. Don't just exist on the vine. Get big and bulky and grow, right? God has bigger plans for you than that. God said, I'm choosing this young woman who is in no way, shape, or form ready for this to happen in order to do my miracle through. Now, how many of you know that God did not just choose Mary because she was a virgin? In today's day and age, that might be a difficult feat. You got to find a virgin, right? But in this day and age, it wasn't that difficult. In this day and age, there was plenty of women who were virgins. But why did God choose Mary? I believe God chose Mary for three different reasons. One, she was the virgin. But there's some lineage that I'm going to get into in a minute. But secondly, how many of you know that Mary was tenacious? Mary was tenacious. She was not a person who would easily give up. She had to live out some rough years. Because of what God allowed to happen to her, the rest of her life, she had to do some suffering. How many of you know that sometimes God will allow things to happen to you that on this earth, you may have some suffering? In this moment, you may have some pain. In this moment, you may have some tribulation. But how many of you know that this moment is nothing more than a fine hair on my pinky compared to the rest of my body? So this long life is nothing but a grain of sand compared to eternity. So what God is doing in you now has eternal dividends. So sometimes you have to thank God for the process. That's what James said, right? James said, I thank you, Lord, for the process that brings me pain. I thank you for that. And everybody says, you are crazy, James. Don't thank God for that, right? But that's what he said because he figured it out. In the pain is the process, and in the process comes eternal dividends, right? So she was tenacious. She was a strong woman. How many of you know she had to be a strong woman to do what she did? Number three, she had to be loyal. Mary was not only there at Jesus' birth, but she was also there at his crucifixion. And Mary was not only there at Jesus' birth and crucifixion, but she was also there at his resurrection. And Mary was not only there for his resurrection, but she was there for his ascension. And not only was she there for his ascension, but she was there when the Holy Spirit came on them in the upper room in Acts. Mary was loyal. She was faithful. She didn't allow the pain of the process to hinder her from getting to her end goal. Amen? She didn't allow that. So there was more about Mary. I almost titled this message, There's Something About Mary, and my wife talked me out of it. Some of y'all might get that, some of you don't. That was pre-Jesus, right? So Hail Mary, you have the favor of God. You're going to be pregnant before you're married, and the whole town is going to talk about you. Hail Mary, you are blessed and highly favored, but your husband is going to be seeking to divorce you because he thinks you've betrayed him. Hail Mary, you are blessed and highly favored, but your friends are going to smile to your face and they're going to talk about you behind your back. Hail Mary, you're blessed and highly favored, but your engagement is about to be called off and your hopes and dreams seem like they're going to be dashed. See, when you're blessed and highly favored, God will still use you even when you feel unusable. God will still use you even when you seem like you've been dashed upon the rocks, right? When it seems like there's no end to what's come against you, God says it's just a part of a bigger plan that you don't yet understand, right? Number two, so you have to be obedient to the word. This is where a lot of people jump off. A what? You got a big ministry for me, God? I'm going to affect hundreds of people? Awesome, I receive that. What you mean I got to study my word every day? What you mean I got to spend hours in prayer? What you mean I got to deal with people backbiting and talking behind my back? What do you mean I got to deal with this and deal with that and deal with this, right? We have to be obedient to the word. Whatever God has placed in your spirit, you have to first receive it, and then secondly, you have to be obedient to it. We're going to skip to verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord. Mary was in a predicament. Mary had to get around somebody who understood where she was at emotionally. Sometimes you just have to get around somebody who understands where you're at. Amen? Sometimes we sit there and we try to be around people. We're going through a process. We're going through a situation. We're being dashed upon the rocks, and we're hanging out with people who are happy-go-lucky. Woohoo! And they don't understand anything that you're dealing with. They don't understand anything that you're going through. But God will bring somebody into your life that has also walked through that situation. God will bring somebody into your life that says, hey, I understand what you're dealing with. God will bring somebody into your life that goes, ha, You know what? Me too. I dealt with that situation too. I walked through that too. But guess what? God brought me out. Guess what? God brought me out. You know, when I first got called into ministry, and Jessica and I were first called into ministry, and God was doing a work in our lives, man, yeah, we had just come out of one of the worst sinful seasons of our lives. I mean, it was pathetic. And we're like, us, God? Are you sure? You're going to use us? You know, our marriage was almost destroyed, and our family was almost broken apart because of the season that we were in our lives. And then all of a sudden, God shows up and makes a difference. All of a sudden, God shows up, and we felt like we didn't deserve it, but we were so grateful for it. And we felt like we didn't earn that, and we didn't, but we were so grateful for it. And almost immediately after God healed our marriage, all these people started dropping in my lap. Here I am working in the car business, and people are walking into my office and sitting down saying, "You got a moment? I need to tell you about my broken marriage." And what could I do? Did I know enough at that point to tell them how to fix it? No. Had I been studying marriage? No, mine was just almost destroyed. But you know what I could tell them? Well, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you how bad I was off. Let me tell you how far down I was. And let me tell you how God brought me back. Amen. It may not be a marriage crisis for you this morning. It may be drugs. It may be alcohol. It may be just a sinful lifestyle. It may be something that almost took you out. But then God grabbed a hold of you and brought you up and set you firmly upon a rock. And then all of a sudden after he did that, these people started showing up in your life. Gypsy, what in the world, man? This biker who used to be an alcoholic and got saved and God changed him and did something different in his life. And then almost immediately after God saves him, in his own word, he used to hang out and deal with people who killed people. And all of a sudden, God saves him. God does a new thing in him. And then God starts bringing men to him. Amen? God started bringing men to him. So just like that. So you'll never walk in the fullness of the word that God's given you until you're first obedient to it. So you have to receive it, and you have to be obedient to it. Mary was obedient to the word. She went to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was facing the same type of situation that she was. Everybody was talking about Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you're past childbearing age. Elizabeth, y'all too old to be pregnant now. Don't be walking around here like this. That better be too much Christmas food, Christmas cookies, right? Elizabeth and Zachary, talking about they pregnant. You know how old they are? Who they think they are, Abraham and Sarah? Well, they some proud people. They think they're Abraham and Sarah. God gonna bring them a baby in their old age, right? Who they think they are? So they were talking about Mary, and they were talking about Elizabeth, and Elizabeth and Mary needed to get together and needed to connect, because Elizabeth and Mary were both pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth and Mary were both pregnant by the Word of God, right? Elizabeth might have been pregnant by her husband, but it was God who allowed that ancient womb to give birth, right? So they had to get around each other. Now, Josephus, and I don't know how, if there's any truth to this or not, but Josephus was a Jewish historian who wrote around 70 AD, and he believes that the baby John inside of Elizabeth was dead. He believes Elizabeth had not felt the baby move, that the baby was dead until Mary walked in the room. Now, I don't know if that's real or not, but I do know this, that if that was fact, Jesus does not only resurrect, he is the resurrection. So in his womb, he walks into a room, and John the Baptist leaps in his mom's belly. What if he was raised back to life in that moment? What if he had been dead because of his mother's womb being too old to carry him, and Jesus just needed to walk into the situation? I wonder how many people here have been carrying a word of God that God gave you, and it's been many, many years since it came to pass, and it feels dead inside of you. But all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you, all that you have to do is get around Jesus for just a few moments. Because he does not only just resurrect you, he is the resurrection. He doesn't have to do it, he is it. So all he has to do is step into the situation and it happens. Amen? Hallelujah. Number three. You got to have faith in it. Why am I saying you got to have faith in it? Because if you've received it, and if you're walking in obedience to it, then you're going to start to see some fruit of it, right? So Mary believed that God planted this baby in her. She received it, and then she started seeing fruit of it because she walked into Elizabeth's house, and all of a sudden Elizabeth and her baby were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy. Amen. She began to see the fruit of it. But then here is the season where many Christians lose it. Maybe you've received it. Maybe you've even walked in obedience to it for a time. But then all of a sudden, you're faced with traveling 90 miles on a donkey when you're 8 months pregnant. All of a sudden, you're faced with dealing with more than you bargained for. All of a sudden, that word that God gave you isn't leaping inside of you anymore. You're dreading it because of what you're going through. Those are the seasons that you have to have faith in it. Those are the seasons that you have to grab a hold of who God is. Those are the seasons that you have to grab a hold of the word and hang on to it. Amen? And it may be longer than you think, but I heard this the other day, that we always think God should work on our timeline, and God can't ever work on our timeline because God exists outside of time. Right? We exist in time, and we are focused on time. God's not. God exists outside of time, so he never works on our timeline. Amen? But he's never late. He's never late. He always shows up right on time, maybe not for when you thought he would be there, but he shows up when he knows he's supposed to be there. Amen? So you have to have faith. So how do we have faith this morning in this word? You know, there's a gentleman that gets on my Facebook from time to time, and he sends me atheistic viewpoints and things to my inbox on Facebook, and I read them, and I don't debate with them. I just share my heart with him when he does that. How do we have faith in that Jesus and Mary were the ones that were chosen of God, and that Jesus was the one who came to be king? How do we have faith in that? And I did some study, and God is a God of numbers, right? And in Matthew 1, we find Joseph's lineage, right? In Matthew 1, we find Joseph's lineage, and it starts with Abraham, who God gave the promise to, right? And then there's 14 generations from Abraham to David, right? In this lineage, you read through the lineage, there's 14 generations from Abraham to David. Then there's 14 generations from David until Babylonian captivity. And then there's 14 generations from Babylonian captivity to Jesus. It's right there in the lineage. So God went to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a promise. He entered into a covenant of promise with Abraham. That covenant of promise didn't change until the days of Moses. The days of Moses came along, and the people begged God to give them rules to live by and promise. God, you give us these rules, we'll live by them. Man, I hate that they did that, right? Because it put them through so much over the coming years. They asked God and begged God for these rules. They asked him three times, and then God said, fine, and gave him the Ten Commandments. But that wasn't enough for religious people. They took the Ten Commandments and turned them into hundreds of commandments and said, we vow to live by these. And they couldn't even live by the ten. They couldn't even live by half the ten. But they vowed to live by hundreds more, right? So there's 14 generations from the original promise to David, who it was prophesied that Christ would come from, right? And there's 14 generations from Christ to Babylonian captivity, and there's 14 generations. Now, this is what I think is amazing. Coming out of captivity, there's 14 generations from captivity to Jesus, Right? So it starts with the promise of covenant, and it ends with the promise of covenant. Everything in between gets washed away at that point. So your captivity, where you've been in bondage, gets washed away by the coming Jesus. Amen? So everything that's in between, all of those generations get washed clean because Jesus came on the earth, right? So God knew that nobody was going to be able to even live by the top 10. Right? Nobody was even going to be able to fulfill the top 10 perfectly. Only Jesus was the only one that ever did it, right? Nobody was going to be able to do that. So they needed more than just the blood of lambs. They needed more than just the blood of sheep. He needed Jesus to come and be the ultimate sacrifice to bring everything into fulfillment. Amen? Now, why 14? Why is there exactly 14 generations? Well, this is what I believe. You know, seven is God's number. Seven is the number of perfection, right? Well, 14, I've read, is the number of double blessing and double perfection. So at 14, 14, 14, 14, Jesus comes, and he is double perfection. He's bringing a double blessing to your life. So if you study it, you can have faith in it that the word is true. Amen? So it had to be Mary, and Joseph had to marry her. Now, Joseph comes from the lineage of David, but Joseph, we know, wasn't Jesus' father, right? Joseph wasn't Jesus' father, but he was legally. He was legally Jesus' father, which mattered in those days. So his lineage mattered as much as Mary's lineage. Now what we find is in Luke chapter 3, Mary's lineage comes into play. From Adam to Jesus, guess how many generations there are? 77. What's 14? 7 plus 7. There were 7 and 7 generations from Adam to Jesus. Right? Double perfection, double blessing. Amen? I just think that was cool. That's extra. That's not part of my sermon this morning. So we have to have faith in the word that God has given you. You have to look at the numbers. You have to look at the fruit. And you have to build up your faith. Amen? See, Mary had to travel 90 grueling miles on the back of a donkey, 8 months pregnant or more, on the back of a donkey, 90 miles. How many of you ladies would like to try that? Right? Do you think that every step of the way with a pregnant belly, boom, 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 do you think that was pleasant? I believe that she had to have faith for every step that she took. Amen? So the angel was yelling out, "Blessed are you, Mary. You are blessed and highly favored." As the donkey goes, Trump, Trump, Trump. Mary, you are blessed and highly favored as she's giving birth, surrounded by animals and sheep dung and feces. Mary, you're blessed and highly favored, and you're giving birth to the Savior of the world, but you're wrapping him in old soiled milk cloths that were in the stable and placing them in a feed trough. But Mary, you're blessed and highly favored. I'm telling you today that no matter what it looks like, you have to hang on to the word. No matter what it looks like is happening around you, you have to hang on to the word. You have to have faith in the word. Amen? Number four, you experience redemption because of the word. See, Mary went through tribulations and trials, and she had more to come. But that day that she gave birth to baby Jesus in the stable, she may not have fully understood it in that moment, but she gave birth to her own redemption. She gave birth to the one who was going to redeem her that morning. Isn't that amazing? She gave birth. But I'm telling you today that if you have a word that God has given you, when that word comes to pass, because if it is God, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should change his mind. So if it was God that gave you that word, when it comes to pass, you're going to suddenly feel the redemption in your life of every painful moment, every situation, everything that you fought against while you've held onto that word. Suddenly, when that word comes to pass, you're going to be instantly redeemed. Amen? See, most spiritual leaders and men and women of God are generally not birthed in a perfect environment. My wife and I were not birthed in a perfect environment. We were birthed out of a nasty, nasty, nasty situation into ministry, right? Most spiritual leaders are not birthed in a perfect environment. So we have to understand that. And there's truth in that when we look at the birth of Christ. Amen? Stand with me. Could you put on some just some music, Jim? There's something that Pastor Ronnie always says, and I felt like it was so important to include at the end of this message today, is that you'll never go somewhere greater than where you are until you first envision where it is that you need to be. So you'll never end up somewhere greater than where you are until you first envision it, until you first see it. So let me share with you this morning. Let me ask you today on this Christmas Eve, and I think I'm true to my promise. I'm getting you out early. Let me ask you that if you have a word in your spirit today, go ahead and receive it, and then be obedient to it. Walk it out. And then during those rough seasons, don't lose your faith. During those trials, don't lose your faith. Hang on to the word, and ultimately it will come to redemption. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. This is I'm sure there's a lot of visitors today and people who came because you're here with your family and they made you come, and I'm glad they did. I'm glad that you're here. But I just want to ask you that if you're in this room today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know Him as your Lord, and you don't have any relationship with Him, you've never accepted Him, I'd like to just give you the opportunity to do that. So if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I'm just going to ask you to lift a hand, and then you can put it right back down. Not going to embarrass you, not going to make you come to the front. We just want to pray a prayer over you. So is there anybody here this morning that needs to accept Christ? Okay. I'm going to assume that everybody in here is a born-again believer this morning. I'm going to pray, and then you're dismissed. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to spend today in church, spend today here worshiping you, Lord, and listening to your word and singing songs of praise to you. Father, I pray over each and every family here that as they go home to complete the holidays with their families, with loved ones, Lord, that their homes will be homes of peace, that their homes will be homes of joy, Lord. Father, I pray over those this holiday season that maybe aren't feeling peace and maybe aren't feeling joy and maybe are dealing with situations in their life and it's kind of overshadowed Christmas. But I pray today, Father, that as they go home and they sit around and they look at each other, that they would find a deep gratefulness for what you have given them, a deep gratefulness for what they do have in this moment. Lord, I pray that with that gratefulness will be accompanied by joy and then be accompanied by praise. That, Father, we praise you. That even in the midnight hour, we praise you. Lord, we love you, and I just pray your blessing on each and every person as they leave here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.